Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than deny myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here, so let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 107 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Dharmesh Topiwala. Dharmesh lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, where he is a software engineer. Welcome, Dharmesh.
Hi, thanks, Jen.
Well, I'm so glad to be here with you today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well under the circumstances. How about you?
Yep, I'm doing great, too. Yeah, we're recording this at the end of April, so we are all still on isolation and lockdown, and I guess you're working from home?
My business is considered essential, so I was going into work for a while, but last week or so, I've started working from home.
Well, I'm glad they figured out a way to make that work, but, you know, hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll all be working from work, right?
I hope so, yeah. We have a Hawaii vacation plan before that, so I'm hoping.
Oh, fingers crossed. Yeah, the Delay, Don't Deny cruise officially got canceled. We were supposed to go in June. And of course, Carnival canceled all sailings. So we waited, you know, as long as we could to hear what Carnival was going to do. We had a feeling it was going to happen, but it's disappointing when a vacation gets canceled. But you know what? We're all healthy. We're safe. And that's the most important thing.
That's right. It just could be a lot worse.
Absolutely. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting? And when was that?
So a little bit of backstory, I guess, is I am from India. I was born and spent, I think, about 14 years there. I was never an overweight kid as per se. I mean, I was bigger than the rest of my friends, but I was never overweight. Had a lot of activity there. I was bicycling around. So never had that problem. But my dad passed away in 91. So in 92, my grandfather sponsored us to move to the U.S. So in 92, we moved to the U.S. in the middle of my, I'm guessing it turns out to be a high school year in the U.S. So when I was 14, I moved to a different country. I lost all my friends and I lost all the activity that I was doing as well over there. So
I bet that was a hard transition. At the time, were you an English speaker already?
I was. They were teaching some English over there. So I knew some English, but it was nothing to, to comprehend the accent and the variances that were happening over here. I wasn't really an outgoing person, so to speak. I mean, it took me several years to build the friendships that I had over there because, you know, you grew up with those people. So, I mean, you have to work at it to make friends. So, I mean, come over here and nothing. I mean, I was just basically in the house 24/7. If I wasn't going to school, I was in the house. And, I mean, you turn to food.
Oh, yeah. And it's probably different food here than you were used to in India. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. I mean, in India, we had trees, vegetable trees and fruit trees out in our yard that we could go pick and eat, like mangoes and all kinds of stuff. So it was, and then, you know, we eat vegetables every day. I mean, even if you ate meat, it was, you know, cooked in a different way than over here. There wasn't much processed food, so to speak, over there. And when I came over here, I mean, I fell in love with, the first food I can remember falling in love with was Doritos.
Oh, Doritos. You know that's something that I have a soft spot in my heart for as well, Doritos.
My grandmother was a big fan of Doritos. And she would always have bags of it in the closet. And I would just eat that. Or, I mean, food just became like a escape, basically.
Right.
That was it. I mean, I just never remember being that skinny ever again since that time.
So that's when the weight problem started. You were eating different foods, you were eating them to soothe yourself, and you were not as active as you had been.
Correct. There was no activity. I used to play cricket a lot in India. This is a sport that's played, you know, outside the English territories, so to speak. And there was nothing like that over here. And so, I just completely stopped doing any kind of activity. That and then went to college. In the summertime during college, I worked at McDonald's. So that was the end of that too.
Oh, yeah. Because that food was around you all the time. I worked at a fast food restaurant in high school, Long John Silver's. Have you ever been to a Long John Silver's?
I have, actually.
Yeah, they're super fried. And, you know, everything is deep fried there.
Yep.
And it was yummy, right? You know, I was like, all the deep fried crumbs I could eat.
Exactly. And they let you make your own sandwich. They're like, okay, well, you have lunchtime, so go ahead and make your own food. You have everything to choose from. And I would make a double, triple chicken sandwich with, you know, chicken nuggets on the side and French fries, and you just eat and you just keep going.
Right.
Another bad thing about, a good or bad thing about here is that you can find clothes in every size you want. So you never feel like, and you're overweight, so to speak, because you can just walk into a store and get a different size.
Right. That's true. And, you know, the sizes have changed a lot over the years.
And they have. So, and then once after college, I never did complete college. So I came back home, kept working at McDonald's, I kept gaining weight. And then, I mean, it never stopped. We moved to Atlanta for a while. We lived in Gwinnett County. About a year and a half to 2 years because my sister was working there. And then moved back over here. I got a job in Raleigh at IBM in 98. And we moved back over here. And at that point, I decided to do something about my weight. And I moved back to Raleigh in 98. We decided to do something about my weight. Every time I've done something about my weight, it has always been exercise and diet.
Right. So how heavy had you gotten at that point in 98? Do you remember?
God, in 98, I would say I was close to 300 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
300. I mean, for reference, I'm 5'10".
Okay.
The 300 pounds seems to be like the weight that I decide I want to do something about my body. It's always been through the years. Like 300 pounds is like, oh, crap. You know, I'm at 300. Now we have to do something.
That was me with 200. You know, it's like, as long as I was under 200, once I crossed that 200 threshold, for me, it was like alarm bells, you know. So I get it. There's like a certain threshold that we can't imagine being over.
Yep.
And you got there.
I did get there. And then I saw a couple of pictures and I was like, well, got to do something. So yeah, it was diet and exercise.
When you dieted, what was the diet that you would go to?
It was extreme calorie restriction.
Okay.
that's always been my go-to, even after the years. I've always in my head thought that if I eat less, and I mean, that's something that's engraved in your head, right? Eat less, move more everywhere. Right.
Yeah. We're all taught that it's a simple math formula. That's it. You just, subtract a certain number of calories and it doesn't matter what you're eating. You just eat less of it and you'll magically lose the weight, except it's impossible to not only lose it all, but to keep it off, right?
That is the most hardest part, is to sustain. It wasn't sustainable to me.
Right.
My exercise was always something as a punishment or something that I did to reward myself the food that I was going to eat later. And exercise should always be something to keep yourself healthy and not.
Right.
That takes a long time to understand, but.
It does. But, when we view weight loss as a math problem, then exercise becomes part of the equation and you are, subtracting from your body with the exercise. You think, okay, exercise, I'm getting these calories out of my body by exercising, and that's it. You start looking at your, Fitbit or your smartwatch, and all you care about is what is that calorie burn, Yeah, it's a vicious cycle to get trapped in.
It is. I went out to eat, so now I gotta go take a walk. I don't want to take a walk because I want to enjoy the fresh air or be healthy. I want to take a walk because I want to burn off that donut that I just had.
Basically. Right. And to me, that also, it seems a little bit like disordered eating. If you think that, now I've eaten this, now I need to do this to burn it off. To me, it feels like such a terrible way to live.
It is. And but the thing is there's no other way that's more prevalent around you that you can turn to. You look around and everybody's doing the same thing, basically.
Right. So how much weight were you able to lose with that calorie counting and exercise?
Around that time, I lost around 50 pounds, I would say. Yeah, around 50 pounds. That took me several years, though, because with that kind of mentality and process, you seem to fall off the wagon, so to speak, quite a bit.
Right.
So around 2000 or so, I bought a house. In 2001-ish, I was continuing this extreme weight loss through a year, two, 3 years, going to the gym, waking up at 5 a.m, going to the gym. But I can't remember feeling healthy.
Right.
I remember feeling smaller, but I don't remember feeling stronger or healthier.
That's a great point, because I look back, the smallest I ever got in my adult life was in the early 90s. And I was doing a low fat diet because that was the trend at the time. But I was eating a lot of low fat junk food, Snackwell cookies and, low fat SpaghettiOs had no fat. If you bought the plain ones, I was eating SpaghettiOs and Snackwells. And I got so skinny. I think I was 118 pounds. I'm 5'5", but I looked terrible. When I look back at the photos, I was skinny, but I looked very unhealthy.
Yeah. And even though I was working out and I was lifting weights, I always liked lifting weights, but I've never seen the benefits of lifting weight. As in, like, I was stronger, but I couldn't see the muscle definition because I guess the fat was still there.
Yeah, it was under there somewhere, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I remember being smaller. I mean, I met my wife around 2001, early 2002. And then I continued working out because there was some motivation there, right? Because I haven't met somebody, we were going out. And then we got married in 2002, at the end of 2002. And that's when it kind of stopped because, it's the honeymoon period, so to speak, right? And with this kind of weight loss, it's when you always have diet and exercise together and they're dependent on each other. If you stop one of them, the balance is completely off.
And then the weight yo-yos up.
Correct.
So is that what happened with you?
That's exactly what happened. Over the years, it just started coming back up because I stopped doing extreme dieting and there wasn't enough exercise I could do to offset the amount of eating that I was doing.
And our bodies just really fight back. In my new book, Fast, Feast, Repeat, I have a whole section about what happens and how our bodies really do fight back with this, prolonged calorie restriction. And it's really just those mechanisms that are in place. And we feel so weak, it's my fault. I can't stick to it. But it's your body forcing you, to eat more because your body thinks you're going to die.
Right. And like I said, you can't outrun your diet. And right. and that's the truth. And I tried, but it didn't work. So eventually I stopped basically. And then a year or two later, we started again. We decided as a couple that we wanted to work out, right? We wanted to say like, let's, my wife has never had a weight problem. She gains weight here and there, but then she loses it. She controls her eating. She loses it. And then she works hard at it. I'm not saying it's easy for her, but.
Right. But she's kept her handle on it.
Correct. I mean, I guess she wanted to help me out, but she said, let's go work out. And so we started that again. We started, the second time we did it, we started going to the gym again in the morning, but this time around we started to do low carb.
Okay.
So, and this time we took it, well, maybe not her, but I took it to the extreme this time around because we, at this point, all my weight had come back. I was back to around 290, 300 pounds. And we took it to the extreme this time around. I did. I was taking pills, right? All the diet pills.
Right.
They were in the market.
Were they prescription? Are you just the ones you get off the shelf?
Yeah, just the one that get off the shelf. I mean, I was taking, I'm not sure if you remember, ephedra.
Yeah, I do. And now it's like banned, right?
Right. So I was taking that before it was banned, right?
Yep. I'm sure I took that. Yeah. I'm sure I had that one too. I would go to the diet aisle of the drugstore and say, what's here? And I would try something. I'd try it briefly. And yeah, thinking that the answer was in that little box.
I was always on the bodybuilding.com site on their forums and just on the supplement section. I would just read every single day, okay, what's the new hot supplement that's going to help me lose this weight or keep it off?
Yeah.
And I would buy it and I would. Then it got to a point where every time we would go out to eat somewhere, I would have like a pouch of pills that I'd take before I would eat my dinner.
That is true. That is, you know, you were supposed to eat it or take it like, what, 20 minutes before your meal or something, right. Whatever the various supplements were. And that's why it always failed because I would forget or I would eat something. And then you would have another supplement to add to the junk drawer.
And I would have alarms set on my phone to take the pills.
Yeah.
And we took something, I mean, I was taking something called CLA that was supposed to block the absorption of fat in your body.
Right.
And, oh, my God. That used to make you run to the bathroom because it literally.
It comes right out.
Right. And it was like.
Whoops.
it was a fear because you go out to eat somewhere and I'm like, well, I'm eating this meal and this is mostly fat and I'm about to take this. So it's like. Finding an exit strategy, you were out of your bathroom saying, okay, the bathroom's over there. I got to keep an eye on it because I'm going to use it later.
Yeah, we were desperate though. You know, I get it. You know, anybody who's ever done these types of things, we totally understand. And, you know, all we can do is look back and laugh. But yeah, I remember my anniversary one year at this. I had read a book. It was called The Shangri-La Diet. And it had to do with chugged oil. Like an hour before you were going to eat and it was supposed to reset. I don't know. So I had some MCT oil and I chugged it and I on a totally empty stomach and this was going to, you know, whatever. And then, oh my gosh, when you chug MCT oil on an empty stomach, same thing. It goes right through you. So I remember sitting at the fancy restaurant with my husband and I was like, I've got to go to the bathroom. I mean, we've never been back to that restaurant. I think I've blocked it out because it was such a miserable experience. But, oh, my Lord, I don't recommend anyone do that. Don't do that.
Any kind of pills that blocks absorption of a certain macronutrient in your body. Looking back now, right? But it's like you said, we were desperate. And, I was taking 6 or 7 pills before my meals at a time. And that, I mean, you would think that. Something was working. I don't know what was working, but I mean, I was losing weight. Maybe it was exercise. Maybe it was
the low carb.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the low carb, my God, low carb is so hard.
It is, unless some people love it and they're like, wow, this is so easy and life is like it should be. And I believe there are people that feel that way, but I am not one of them. It was very hard for me. I never felt great.
I mean, I come from India and
low
carb and Indian food. It doesn't go in the same sentence, to be honest with you.
Definitely not.
And my mom lives with me. So she loves to cook. She's always in the kitchen. And it's kind of disheartened her as well when we were doing low carb because anything that she made, it was like, well, I'm sorry, I can't have this. It's mainly stuff that was packaged because that's, we could, you know, we could read the macronutrients on it and eat it that way.
Right.
So, I mean, and I couldn't ask my mom for a recipe either because with her cooking and with most cooking, it's, you know, it's almost like a pinch of this and a dash of that and a handful of that. And it's like, well, what does that mean?
Right. Well, you know, it's when you grow up making a recipe, you know, I made potato salad the other day and my husband said, you know, could you write the recipe down? I'm like, no. You just mix it together till it looks right. And, you know, you can't explain that in a recipe. Stop when it looks right. Yeah.
And that's what she would say. It's, you know, I just kind of look at the color of the food. And if it's okay, then it's good to go.
Right.
Like, well, sorry, mom, I can't eat that then. It's like, yeah. Well, yeah, that continued for a bit until we had kids. We had our first daughter 2 years later. And that kind of slowed down. You know, my wife was busy. Obviously, she was pregnant.
Right.
So the working out kind of stopped because she was my partner working out. And so that's another point where it stopped. And then the weight started coming back on. And after that point, it never – we had our son in 2007, 3 years later. So the weight was continuing to come on at that point because there was no exercising in between those two kids. And then I think 2010 is when I started again because my weight went up to around 290, 300 again. And then that's my point. So I was like, well, you got to do again.
That would always happen for me. It would be an alarm size. Like once I got to, I think it was, you know, size 14, size 16, I was like, whoop, whoop, time to rein it in. That was my yo-yo high point. You know, when I would get to that size, you know, I would be like, all right, time to do something. And then I would do something really hard and really extreme. And
this time around, same thing.
Yeah.
But this time I didn't do low carb. This time I counted everything that I ate. I just started using MyFitnessPal and obsessively just started jogging, logging down everything that I did. I would watch my mother cook this time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat your food, but I'm going to watch you cook. And then I'm like, okay, how much is that?
Right. So you could know what was in it.
Right. It's like, oh, don't put that oil in there, you know, or yeah. Here's a teaspoon, you know, just use that and see how much it is. And it was tough because, and that's also back to eating processed food because, you know, processed food has nutritional contents on there. So
exactly. Yep. That's the thing. You know, I really think that trying to count stuff encourages processed food more than anything else because you can count it so easily.
Yep.
Whether you're counting the macros or the calories, it's right there. And so you're like, well, I'm just going to eat this box of food because I know what it is.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. But your body doesn't know what it is because it's not real food. But yeah.
And going out to restaurants, I would only go out to restaurants that had the nutrition values online where I can see and missed out on a lot of food. And I mean, my family was very supportive. They would, do whatever I wanted to do, go out. They would say, okay, let's go out here. Let's not go there. But so, yeah, we did that. My weight came down. This time I got down pretty low. I got down to around 220 this time around. I lost a good 75 to 80 pounds this time around doing just very low calorie diet, logging everything I ate and then exercising again.
But it was miserable, right?
Right. Like I said, exercise was mainly used for reward and punishment.
Right.
So, yeah, 2010, honestly, I cannot remember. Oh, sorry, I can remember, yes. So that continued for about 3 or 4 years until we sold. I used to work out in my garage because it was too hard for me to get up in the morning this time around and go to the gym to work out for the amount of time that I wanted to work out because of the food that I was eating to offset the food.
Right.
So I started working out in my garage at the house. I had weightlifting equipment in my garage and it was working out pretty well. I had most of the stuff I needed in the garage. I would come home after work and I would work out in the garage and things were good. I was like, okay, if I can continue doing this, then maybe I can maintain the weight. But you know, things always change. We needed a bigger house. We had two kids and my mom was living with us. So we sold that house and we bought a new house, which was being built. So we had 8 months of gap in between those two houses. So we had to move to an apartment between houses. And that's when I lost all my workout equipment.
Right. Because you had no garage. You were in the apartment.
Correct. And I didn't want to go to the gym. So like I said, one thing you lose one thing in that and the whole equation is offset. So
yeah, the momentum is just lost and then
correct.
There's the weight again.
Yep. And this whole disarray of this being a house being built and just keeping constant watch on what's going on and the closing and all that stuff. It's, like you already know, it's stressful.
It is. Yeah.
So yeah, the weight came back on slowly. And even after, I was like, I said to myself, okay, we'll move into a new house. And we've got a bigger house this time with the basement. And I said to myself, I'll start again when we get into the new house. I have a basement to myself. I'll make it a gym and we'll go from there. And you say these things to yourself to make yourself feel better so you can, go back to eating the way you wanted to eat.
Right. And it was always you were going to start when this other thing happened. Yeah,
yep.
I get it. That's the story we tell ourselves. Well, right now is not a good time. I'm in this apartment. I'll just, I'll deal with it later.
That's what happened. We moved to the new house in 2015, but all my weightlifting stuff was in the storage and it stayed there. But I never brought it back here. And like I said, I had a basement here. I set up a movie room downstairs and not a gym. And continued eating the way I wanted to eat until the weight came back on again. Like you say, it was yo-yo.
Right. And then there you are back at 300 again.
So this time around in late 2018, I basically gave up because, you keep going back and forth and
right.
You're like, well, I always liked wearing formal clothes or, looking not fancy, but looking like a dress up.
You feel good when you are dressed up.
Correct. And, I couldn't do that because I was always wearing gym shorts and t-shirt or always wearing something that was very loose on me. And I didn't want to buy any fancy clothes, any expensive clothes, because, in your head, you're like, I'm going to lose the weight. So I don't want to spend money on this
right.
fancy clothes. Around 2018, I'm like, this is it. I'm not going to lose this weight anymore. And I'm going to stay at this weight. And if I'm going to stay at this weight, then I'm going to start dressing up better.
I also went through that give up phase and I gave up between 2012, 2013, 2014. I still tried here and there, but I was mostly had given up. And right before 2014, when I really lost the weight, I gave away all my skinny clothes. I was like, I'm done. I'm just giving up. I kept a few things I still have, but I was like, that was it.
It's a big step. I mean, it's almost like, you said, okay, I lose, but I'm going to get something out of it. So
right.
I started buying clothes in that size. I started investing in being that size. I started buying, and the belts were really uncomfortable for me because I was a size 44 in my pants, and belts are really like tourniquets basically for
right.
guys that size. And so I bought suspenders. I was going to wear suspenders, and I basically invested in a lifestyle that was going to be around 300 pounds for my entire life because I'm like, this is it. And so, yeah, I had given up. And then, I don't know, I can't tell you honestly what happened in 2019. I think it was in the middle of 2019, is I was just sitting down on my couch. I go through Reddit a lot to get my news.
Right.
And so that's what I heard for intermittent fasting. The first time around is on Reddit. They have a subreddit for intermittent fasting.
Yep, I've seen that there. I don't go to Reddit. I don't right. spend time there, but I'm familiar with it.
So it always kept popping up. Like every once in a while, it would pop up in my top stories. One of the progress pictures would pop up saying, I lost 50 pounds, 60 pounds, eating whatever I wanted. And, I was like, huh, that can't be. Based on my experience, that can't be real. So
yeah, because those of us that had dieted for so long, that's very appealing.
Right. I'm like, what's the catch? I'm not looking into this. I don't have time for this.
Right.
And then I don't know what happened one day. This is funny. I'm sitting there watching a movie in my theater room, eating a big bag of popcorn, looking at this diet picture and saying, I think I'm going to start this diet.
Yeah.
And as I continue to eat that buttered popcorn, it's like, tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow. Yeah. But I don't know. I can't tell you why, but I went on that subreddit. I read all the information that I could find. I Googled everything. And I said, tomorrow I'm going to start this. So I started next day.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10, to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
After I finished that bag of popcorn, I said, okay, I'm not going to eat anymore until lunch tomorrow. And I'm very stubborn. I mean, I have a very obsessive personality. So if I decided that I wanted to do something, I have a strong will.
Right. And, you know, it's obvious because of all the dieting that you did and how hard you tried. You know, people who looked at you at 300 pounds would not have realized how hard you had tried. I mean, you tried and tried and tried and tried. You have got, I mean, the fact that you were able to lose the weight all those times fighting against your body, that's an iron will, right?
My wife says she's very jealous of the way, I mean, I can look at, if I've made up my mind, I can look at a big piece of cake or donut in front of me saying, nope, not going to have it. I started with, what did I start with? I think I started with 16.8.
Yeah.
I started with 16.8 and, I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And I didn't tell anybody I was doing this because I told my mom I was doing it because my mom had always pushed for fasting, but for religious reasons.
Right. I was betting that was why.
And astrological reasons. My mom is a big believer in astrology.
Okay.
So she's always about, you know, this planet is in misalignment with this planet. And she's like, if you fast on Thursdays, then it will appease this planet and, you know, things will work out for you. And I was like, okay, mom, if it makes you feel better, I will fast on Thursdays. So, but it wasn't clean fasting, basically.
Especially if you started off from Reddit, there's all kind of crazy advice out there, right?
Right. So she would always be like, okay, eat fruit or, you know, or you can drink Diet Coke and stuff like that. But when I started, I was kind of aware of eating food. Like
right.
If you ate something, that it would break your fast. So, and I already knew what kind of stuff diets, sodas were doing to you. Even though I was a big Diet Mountain Dew drinker, I would drink that.
Oh, yeah. I used to drink Diet Mountain Dew. There, yeah. I had a whole period of time where everyone knew me for Diet Mountain Dew. I had one with me all the time.
Yeah. I have a big collection at work. But, you know, the Diet Mountain Dew started doing this one from every state kind of bottles. And I used to have one from every state up on my – and I quit sodas, cold turkey. Next day, I quit. I went to Perrier. I realized that I liked the carbonation and not the actual diet flavor. I just needed carbonation.
Yeah, me too. I'm sitting here with my San Pellegrino right now.
Yeah, so that was a very good discovery that I was only drinking the diet sodas for the carbonation. And I was like, well, that's awesome. Then I can just quit that. And I did. 16.8, I started 16.8. It was a struggle. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was not easy. I was watching my watch. I was counting the time until I could eat. And there was some gorging involved.
Right.
Once my window opened. But I think it took a week. It took a week. People complain about black coffee as well. I mean, I'm a coffee drinker. A lot of people from India drink tea. My entire family drinks tea. But I don't. And I'm a big coffee drinker. And switching to black coffee wasn't, I mean, it was tough, But it wasn't as tough because I said that this is what I have to do, period.
Right.
I was thinking about...
And you did it.
I was thinking of it as a medicine, basically.
Right, right. This was mid-2019?
Yeah, July. July 11th.
Okay, July.
2019 is when I started. I mean, I've taken pills before for losing weight. Why not black coffee?
There you go. So,
why not, right? I mean, if it's going to help me, why not try it?
Right.
So yeah, I started drinking black coffee. I realized that hot black coffee was not my thing. So, but cold brew was definitely my thing. That helped me a lot.
That's a great tip because it really does change the whole experience having a cold brew coffee. It's smoother. And so, yeah. So anybody struggling with hot black coffee, consider the cold brew.
Definitely. And cold brew as in not, I mean, so there's a difference between actually getting the hot coffee and cooling it down versus making the cold brew itself.
Right. The brewing process is different.
Correct. The bitterness still transfers over from the hot coffee if you drink it cold.
Right.
But if you do a cold brew itself, then it just completely changes the equation.
So you make your own cold brew at home?
I do.
Yeah. And I really recommend that because the thing about cold brew coffees, if you buy them in the bottle, it's very tricky. A lot of them, like there's one brand that people always love and they're always coming to the Facebook groups and they're like, this brand is so delicious. And it has like a mystery ingredient. It calls it natural flavors. But I think it's some kind of sweetener because people love it. And they won't tell you what it is if you contact them. And then some of the brands have citric acid in there as a preservative. But citric acid also adds a tangy flavor. Yeah. So it's really, you have to read those labels if you're buying a cold brew coffee or a tea that's already bottled. But making it yourself is like cheaper, easier, and you know it doesn't have anything weird in it.
Yep. And you can use whatever coffee grounds you want.
Yep.
I don't like the sourness and this completely takes care of it. So yeah, I was drinking. But the one thing I was doing during my fasting was I was drinking flavored LaCroix.
Okay.
That was the only thing I was doing. Because I needed some kind of flavor. But you know, honestly, LaCroix flavors, I mean, I've seen jokes about them online where it says, you know, watermelon flavors, you know, it passed a field of watermelons.
Yeah.
It was touched by a raspberry. I mean, that makes sense because I was like, where is the raspberry in this? I don't taste it. So I was like, but then I didn't read your book first. I found your Facebook group first. I had to confess, I had intentions of reading your book, but I did lie on your form and it said read the book.
Okay. The moderators and I often wonder about that.
Yeah. So I had full intentions of reading the book, but at that point I wanted the information. So I just wanted to get into the group. So
okay. Well,
I didn't read the book. I listened to the book.
Okay. Well, that works too.
Right.
Listening works and you hear me read it to you. So.
Right. So I got a lot, lots of good information from the Facebook group. And I honestly believe, Jen, that your achievement is not the book. Your achievement is the support group.
Well, thank you. And, you know, that really is, you know, I spend over 40 hours a week on Facebook. Right. You know, my phone tells me that because we have, you know, the app, whatever it is, like screen time on an iPhone that shows how much you are on there. I spend over 40 hours a week in these Facebook groups, and it's a really big job, but it is a labor of love.
It is. And I truly believe that is where the changes to people happen is they read stories, they look at pictures, and they get information from there. And the book is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the book simplifies a lot of things that you read in other places and it gives you a very good summary and very good direction to go into. But you have questions even after you read the book.
Yeah.
And the support group is where it all comes together. It came together for me anyway, other than the fact that, you know, every other question is asking what fasting app people uses. But
it's true. Sorry. People really want to know.
I'm like, it's literally in the post above yours. If you just scroll up a little bit. Anyway.
Everyone thinks they're the first person to ask that question.
Right. Search. I always search. Yeah.
Good. Yay.
I'm an introvert. I actually ask my questions 15 times in my head before I ask it out loud.
I get it.
I carry the same philosophy online as well. But yeah, I started seeing the weight just come off, basically. I mean, I was eating. I would come home from work. I found out that after a week or two, I could keep pushing my lunch back.
Yeah.
And I basically stopped having lunch as well. And I went from 16.8 to 18.6. And then from 18.6, I went to 20.4. And there was a seamless transition to me.
That seems to be a really good sweet spot right there. You know, I've been recently with the whole pandemic and being home and being stressed, and my husband's home. And so he's like, hey, let's have daiquiris, or, you know, in the middle of the afternoon. I had started stretching my window. So I pulled out my app again that I hadn't used in years, since 2016. And I have realized I really feel great at 24.
Right. And the 24, I'm actually 24 is when I was most of the time. And I'm down to 22.2 at this point.
Yep. Sometimes I even will have a 2-hour window sometimes. And that feels really good too.
I'm not trying to push it. I'll open my window earlier.
And then you're just full though, but you've had enough.
Right. And I'm like, well, I will keep it open. I tell myself I will keep it open in case something window worthy happens to come
there
by.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
But it never does.
Yeah, like I closed my window the other day and then my husband brought me another glass of wine. And so I'm like, all right, I'll reopen it. Because, you know, who's going to turn down your husband bringing you a glass of wine? Yeah. I mean, I could have, but I did not.
I don't drink, so.
Okay. Yeah. You would turn that down. But yeah. It was a nice gesture.
I didn't
say, no, my window's closed. I just, you know. And even so, my window ended up being 3 hours, I think, that day. So.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
I've lost 90 pounds so far.
That's amazing. So are you're lower now than you had been when you would lose weight with the really hard dieting?
Correct. I remember being close to 220s or lower 210s, and I'm 206 right now.
Wow. Oh, I'm so excited to hear that.
Honestly, my goal was 220. When I started, because that's what I remember as being, you know, small.
Right.
And I passed that goal and I said, and I told myself I didn't want to exercise, because I told you before that they always went hand in hand with me. And if I stopped one, then the other one would stop as well. So I was like, I want to do just my diet part of it and see if I can lose my weight that way and then add exercise to better myself, to better my body and feel healthy instead of trying to offset what I was eating.
Well, I love that philosophy of that you're going to work out because it feels good and it's good for you, but it's not like hand in hand with, you know, like I'm going to work off that whatever I had, you know, you're not doing that.
Right. Because you say it's a very unhealthy mindset, because then you get put off by exercise as well, because you're like, I have to do this. I have to exercise because I ate that donut.
Right.
And I didn't want to have to do anything. I wanted to do it.
I love that.
I told myself that I will start exercising when I get to my lowest point that I remember being. Because at that point, I could have proven to myself that I can do this just by diet and not by punishing myself with exercise. And I hate cardio. I can't do it. I mean, I did do it before, but I tell my family, if you see me running, something bad is happening. And you better start running too.
That's the way I feel too. I'm the same way. And you know, I don't love cardio. You know, I'll hula hoop a little bit. I will jump on my rebounder. I stand on my vibration plate, which is certainly not really cardio. but I don't want to do cardio either. I don't like exercise classes that are cardio. I don't want to run. You know, I don't like it. My body doesn't want to do it.
I like lifting weights. I don't like cardio.
Right?
I'm getting older. I mean, I'm 42 and I don't have that joint flexibility that, you know, I did when I was lifting weights before. And I didn't want to do free weights, or I didn't want to do big weights that I did before. So I got resistance bands. And I started doing resistance bands training the last month and a half in my basement. And I just have 5 bands of resistance bands, and they are working amazingly well for me.
And they're also easy to handle.
It is. They're very easy to handle. They're very easy on your body, but you still get the resistance. I mean,
right.
Your muscles don't care whether they're dumbbell or resistant or bands. They just look for resistance.
Correct.
I'm seeing muscle definition that I didn't see before when I was working out like crazy, and that even a month and a half was just doing resistance training.
Wow. You know, you've got the benefits of the fasted working out with the increased human growth hormone that we see. So, yeah.
I work out in my 21st to 22nd hour of my fast.
Awesome.
So as soon as I finish my workout, the first thing I do is I have 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar to break my fast. And then I just have some protein. I love cottage cheese. I know most people don't, but
I love cottage cheese. Yeah. I love it.
I have a big bowl of cottage cheese, and I put some protein powder in there, and that sweetens it.
Ooh, I bet that's delicious.
Yeah, so chocolate protein powder.
Ooh, I bet that's, I haven't had cottage cheese in, gosh, I don't even know when, because it's not something that I buy, but I should get some. I would really love it.
I love cottage
I forgot cheese. About how much I love it. It's got that little slightly tangy flavor.
People don't like the texture, but I love chewing on each single curd.
I like it too. I like the texture too. Do you like buttermilk? Have you ever had buttermilk?
Oh, I love buttermilk.
I love buttermilk too. I've got some in the fridge right now because I made some Irish soda bread and it called for buttermilk. And I remember watching my grandmother drink buttermilk and I had forgotten. So it's like nostalgic, but delicious.
Yeah, we drink buttermilk in India. We have buttermilk with salt and cumin and some pepper.
Oh, I bet that's delicious.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, since July 19th, I've been fasting, and I have fasted through the holidays. I will tell you that I have ate a lot to Thanksgiving and Christmas. I basically the month of December ate out almost every night with friends.
Wow, and you were still losing the weight. I mean, you've really done well because we're recording this in late April. So you've lost 90 pounds from July until the end of April. That is phenomenal.
Thank you. I'm down to a pant size 34 from 44.
Wow.
And I always kept 3 different piles of clothes in my closet. I've always had one that I wear now, one that's a little bit looser, and I know one that's a little bit tighter, and the third one is the In Your Dreams kind of a collection.
Right.
Where, you know, and I've blown through all 3 of them.
Love it.
So now I did, during Thanksgiving, I bought some clothes because of Black Friday sale, and now they're too big. So
yep.
I don't want to buy, and I don't want to, I've gone from a triple XL shirt size to now needing a large shirt size. So all my clothes right now that I had bought during Thanksgiving were extra large. So now I don't know what to do anymore. I don't want to buy any more clothes.
Well, you know, don't go too crazy. Give yourself time for your body to adjust because, you know, I did the same thing. When I got down to a size 10, I felt so good after being, you know, a 16, probably 18, really. I was lying to myself. But I was like feeling so good at that size 10 that I bought a ton of clothes.
Right.
And then I only could wear them for like a month.
And honestly, my scale hasn't moved in the last maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's been, I'm going between 204 and 208. But I'm seeing changes.
Right. Especially with the muscle building, right?
Correct. And I mean, I've taken it, it's gotten me to do some double takes walking through the mirror. It's like, wait a minute. Was that there before? I don't see it. And I didn't see that before. And the clothes fit differently as well. I bought some suits before that. I think I was a size 54 in my suit. And I bought 44 suit size, and that was in January, and it was, I couldn't button it up. And I was like, and you know, this time I said, you know what, I'll fit into it. And I had confidence in that statement.
Yeah. That, you know, I get it too. I bought a really expensive coat in 2015 when I was almost at my goal weight, not quite there, but almost there. But it was a coat and it was really tight, but it was expensive. And I was like, if I gain 1 pound, I will not be able to button this coat, but I'm going to buy it anyway, because right. I know this time it feels different. I just knew it was different. And you know, I still have that coat and it's loose, but I still wear it.
You know, but it works.
Yep, exactly.
And now even without the scale moving, that suit is fitting me better. Now I can button it up and I know changes are happening, so I'm not discouraged.
Right.
I wouldn't even say that I weigh myself. I would say that I record my weight.
That makes sense. You're just using it as information, but you're more concerned with how your body is changing.
Correct. And, you know, my goal weight is whatever. My goal weight is whatever now. I don't care. I want to fit into clothes a certain way and not weigh a certain number.
Yeah, that's where the power is. When you finally disconnect from, you know, having a scale number. Like, you know, there was somebody recently in the group who was like, I weigh whatever it is today, but I really want to lose these 4 more pounds. And I can't lose these 4 more pounds. And I'm like, you got to get rid of that idea. You may never lose those 4 pounds, but actually be smaller than you thought you'd be.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of that number.
You put on a piece of clothing and you just like the way it sits on your body, and that's the feeling you want.
That is exactly it. That is all I need right now, is that. And, you know, I always know if I've loosened up too much and then I need to tighten it up a little bit, I always can tell. You know, that's the beauty of maintenance. You know, your honesty pants let you know.
Right.
But you know what to do, and it's really easy. Just tighten up a little bit. Boom. There you go. Have you had any health changes?
I haven't been to the doctor since I started this.
Oh, wow.
Because it was just past my yearly checkup already. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll do my next yearly checkup and I go back and, you know, doctor will be impressed. But, you know, considering what's happening right now.
Right.
I haven't been to the doctor in the past couple of months and I don't see when I'll go to the doctor next.
Your doctor is going to be blown away.
Right. I feel better, right? I don't have any crashes. There's no constant energy throughout the day. All the benefits, I'm seeing them. And I did have high blood pressure and gout before, but I'm still taking those pills because I don't want to stop them.
Okay.
So we'll see what the doctor says. But other than that, I'm feeling great. I'm awake more. My mind is sharper. I don't know. I feel like a kid. I don't know what to tell you. It's a good feeling.
Keep an eye on your blood pressure because I've actually heard, you know, a lot of people through the Facebook groups and even people here on the podcast who were taking high blood pressure medication and then fasting, they got so much better that they didn't need the same amount of high blood pressure medicine. So if you start to feel dizzy or lightheaded during the fast, get that blood pressure checked just to be safe because you might be taking more than you need.
Right. I've actually felt that recently where I would get up too fast and I would feel dizzy.
Get that checked out. Go ahead and, you know, see if you can get a blood pressure reading and then call your doctor or see if you can get in there, even though it might be hard right now, just because your dosage may need to be changed, but you need to have that looked at.
I think I would want to do that.
Well, that's fabulous.
I've actually helped a couple of people. But I mean, I've told a friend who's doing it and I've told a coworker who also did it and they both lost weight and they continue to do it. So I don't go out and preach it. But if people ask me how I lost the weight, then I definitely inform them.
Yeah, probably once all this is over and you go back to the actual workplace day to day, people are going to be even more amazed because you will have transformed even more. And they're going to be like, all right, you got to tell me how to do it.
Even my friends who haven't seen me, we haven't actually met in the last month and a half. So we haven't met since I've started resistance training. And my body has changed quite a bit after that as well. So I'm sure you'll see improvements as well.
I bet they're going to be blown away because you're going to look younger, stronger. You know, you're just going to be more vibrantly healthy.
Yeah.
So that's fabulous. I love that you're willing to share it, but you're not preaching it, but you will tell them when they want to know. Because I think that people really are looking for, you know, like you and I searched for so long before we found this and we tried everything, but this is like so much the opposite of the struggle from before.
It is. And this time around, I'm like, I'm even in the mentality, okay, you know what? Bring on the weight because I know how to lose it now.
But it won't happen. That's
right,
not going to happen.
Exactly. So I'm not afraid.
Right. Because you know what to do. And you also realize you don't feel better when you eat a lot more. Like if you have a day off or you have a long day, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I need a nap.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling at all.
Well, we are almost out of time. So as we get to the end, I like to ask, what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting? Or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I wish that I would have taken pictures.
Oh, gosh, I do too. Yeah, that's the best, having pictures.
Yeah, so take a lot of pictures. That's when you can see. And I wish that I started resistance training a little earlier. I mean, I know the goal that I had in mind was to 220.
Right.
But I wish that I had started it earlier because I only say that because I see the difference now. And I'm thinking, you always think that what would have happened if I had done more of it earlier.
Right.
But, and also, I like to tell people, and I see this a lot on Facebook, is this is not a wagon. You don't Correct. Fall off of it.
Yep,
this is a path.
Exactly.
It's a path. You get distracted sometimes and you go off the path, but just get back on there. There's no punishing yourself.
I actually have a chapter in Fast, Feast, Repeat. The whole chapter is that there is no wagon because I don't want people to think about, oh, I'm cheating, I'm off the wagon. No, you're not.
It's day to day. Just
right.
You ate more this today, just tomorrow, it's another day. Just
correct.
I want to tell people that, you know, they have already won. They've already made the hardest decision of their life to change their body. That is the hardest decision.
I love that.
Everything else after that is just part of the process. But that decision, there are billions of people out there or millions of people out there that are overweight. They have not made the decision to change their lives. And the people who have made that decision, they've already won. They're already ahead of the curve. So stop punishing yourself over the fact that you messed up one day.
And, you know, now that we understand biology, we know why our body fought back and why we yo-yoed back up.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. And you were trying so hard. Those of us that have yo-yoed tried so hard, but you just can't. You just can't do that forever. But intermittent fasting, you can do forever.
And just hold on to the decision to better yourself. You already made that decision. Hold on to the decision. And then that's the hardest part of the process. Once you've done that, just the rest of the things will come. Just don't change your, just keep going.
Absolutely.
It works. And take pictures.
It does. And it's freeing. Absolutely freeing. But yes, take the pictures and then have them to come back to you later, because then you will really be amazed, because you may not realize how big you actually were until you see it next to your new slimmer body.
Right. Exactly. And you know, it's hard for people to find pictures, because I know I didn't take many pictures when I was big. I would always hide.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Right. You'll be hard pressed to find any pictures when you were big, because you weren't in them. You were always taking them.
But you're going to want to have them one day.
Right. Exactly. So take pictures and don't beat yourself over this.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and congratulations. And I look forward to seeing your transformation even more in the Facebook groups.
And thanks for doing all you do, Jen. It helps a lot.
Thank you. Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.